All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
All your money. Radio plays what they want you to hear. Tony is cool. I just don't believe it. Sell out with me. Oh yeah, sell out with me tonight. The
record. Welcome, folks, to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 77. Selling our shit. I am OG. With us tonight is Mr. Fantastic.
Yo.
And on the far, far side of the studio, distracted as usual, although this time it's not porn, Big Kev.
Dude, I've had a whole run of Master of Kung Fu.
Good, I hope you're selling your Master of Kung Fu. You know we are doing a show, sir. Maybe you want to join us?
Yeah, I'll be there in a minute. Start the news.
Why don't you get behind your mic, sir?
Oh, dude, I just found Kickers, Inc.
All right, so me and Big Kev have decided that we are selling our comic book collections.
Trimming the fat,
as he likes to say.
I'm selling all my books. You're the one selling all your books.
I am selling all of my books, because most of the stuff that I'm interested in, I've replaced with trades. We've discussed this on the show before.
Dude.
Graphic novels, trade paperbacks. What?
Island of Dr. Moreau.
I'm doing a show, sir. Graphic novels, trade paperbacks, they are the way of the future for the comic books. And since they are coming out so rapidly now, like DVDs shortly after a movie's theatrical release, it's getting easier and easier to get them, less and less weight. And so I feel I don't need a lot of my older issues. I'm trying to make space. And that's it.
I heard global warming was the way of the future.
Well, I hope to contribute to global warming by burning my comic books. And sending all of that gas up into the atmosphere.
Or selling them. Or
guys,
selling and buying them. Gas.
Guys,
buying gas.
Guys,
what's up? Yeah, hey,
guys,
what's up?
I just found a complete run of The Princess of the Quarter Bin, Amethyst.
Did you find perhaps a life in one of those boxes?
Well, considering there are more of your boxes over there than mine.
There are only 10 boxes of mine.
There's
got to be at least 15 or 16
you're
of
right.
yours.
You're right. There are only 10 boxes of your garbage over
right.
there. Your image books, your crap that nobody likes.
Sure.
You know, if Amethyst is Princess of the Quarter Bin, you must be the fucking emperor of it.
I am. I'm the emperor.
You are gonna do more to help the comic book industry by getting rid of this crap that hopefully whoever is buying this stuff from us will throw away.
Hey, look, there are plenty of people out there that perhaps collect exotic birds and need something to line the bottom of their bird cages with, and I am merely supplying them. It's recycling. It's my help to the environment.
Right, with as much Rob Liefeld artwork as is humanly possible.
That's right.
If you really want to get rid of them and you don't care about getting paid for it, you should take out all the staples and run them through a flatbed scanner. And then release them to the wild, and at least you'll have done something for the artists by making their artwork go on.
See, here, I'm going to stop you right there and disagree because
Big Kev.
Who on earth would spend the time to scan in any of the crap that he's getting rid of?
You know, it's not all crap.
You can find whatever you want out there. What's the crappiest book you can think of?
I don't know.
Amethyst?
Matt?
Dude. Amethyst is a DC book with a long and proud traditional history. I'm talking about the early 90s image collection that
you
have.
Some people read that stuff when it was popular, and
Ripclaw?
Maybe they want to read it again. I don't think I have any Ripclaw.
Really?
I have Cyberforce.
Oh,
I don't
think
I have any Ripclaw.
Okay. No, you have Cyberforce, the team
he
was on.
Hey, Mark Silvestri, sir. Mark Silvestri.
Mark Silvestri, my behind. What's next? They'll make a Ripclaw action figure, and you'll buy that. Oh, wait, that's later on.
That's later on. Right. All right, what's next? Let's get to what's next.
Okay.
That would be a remake of The Karate Kid. That's right, you heard me. A remake of The Karate Kid.
With Ralph Macchio as
This will be produced by Will Smith, and it will star his 9-year-old son.
No!
It is. That's true.
Yep.
It's the pursuit of the Karate Kid.
What's who's playing Mr. Miyagi?
I don't know, but it would be really funny if it was Will Smith, kind of like all Asian'd up like Eddie Murphy used to do in, what was that, Golden Child Coming to America
or
Norbit. There you go.
He did it in Norbit.
So they don't know, other than Will Smith wants to do it and use his son, who he's pushing to be the next big yuck in Hollywood. So there it is.
We got an email this week about the fact that we put the words Marvel and Joe Quesada and yuck too close together too often
in every episode.
And I would like to address that person. You're absolutely correct. We've gone back, we've listened, and we no longer are going to use the term yuck when we talk about Joe Quesada or Marvel or any of those things. We are now using the word blech instead. Aww. So there.
Now,
I want to get it started off. Joe Quesada's handling of Marvel Comics is blech there.
I picked up the latest issue of Amazing Spider-Man. I'm trying to slowly get back into books. I'm trying to re-embrace comics.
Is that one in the box behind me?
No, that one is actually still in my car because that's where I was reading it. And I actually kind of liked it. It's post-Civil War. May Parker has been shot. There was an assassination attempt on Peter, and they accidentally got May. It was, I think, one of Kingpin's goons. And
she should die.
I liked the book. I thought it was a good issue. I liked the fact that Peter Parker just went up to Iron Man and punched him in the mask and bloodied up his hand. And I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Enough so that I will pick up another issue and perhaps several more after that. So that's my personal update on comic books. But, yeah. So any news, sir, or no?
About what?
About anything. We are doing
show. I'm sorry. I'm thumbing through this. I'm thumbing through this box of Omega the Unknown.
Radioactive hamsters from a planet near Mars or something.
Oh, man.
Shit,
I found so many of those books. I found geriatric gangrene jitsu gerbils. Was
That's
that
terrible.
It I found? What was that other one I found? I found,
I don't know,
something
about
koalas,
koalas.
Ones.
I don't know.
Koala commandos, something time displaced, something koala commandos.
All right.
There was a whole bunch of those books after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out that parodied the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Do you remember the Battletoads?
No.
It was a Rare video game side
scroller. Oh, yeah, yeah. Battletoads. Actually, I do remember that. Yeah.
I don't remember the names, but I think it was Rash, Pimple, and Zits or something like that.
That's terrible.
They were very good games, though. Very hard.
I remember
hard.
Cyber Frog.
Huh. Hard.
That was another comic book. I don't remember the games. I remember the games, but I don't remember actually the gameplay. I probably played them like once or twice, if that. And yeah. It's one of those games maybe they'll make available on some sort of virtual console at some point in time somewhere.
I don't know, though. It'd be curious where. I mean, it would probably be on Xbox because...
Well, who was it? Was it
Microsoft,
Konami?
Microsoft owns Rare, who developed it. At the time, it was a Nintendo game. I think it was maybe IREM or some company that published it, but it was Rare.
Okay, so maybe it'll pop up on the Xbox then.
Huh.
Yo. All
right, so apparently, rumor on the street is that Mike Vogel has been cast as Kirk in the upcoming J.J. Abrams Star Trek film that will be out sometime next year or early the year after.
Who in the fuck is Mike Vogel?
I don't know. I just know that he was the one that has been rumored to be cast.
Fantastic.
So there you go.
Can you tell us some of the previous work of Mike Vogel?
Kev?
Yeah?
I don't know who Mike Vogel is either.
If you use IMDb, you can probably give us a little more information.
What the fuck is IMDb? Exactly. Don't send people there.
Stop, man, because this is where I play your little music like you're finding something. It sounds all computery and futuristic.
You know what? Speaking of music that is computery and futuristic and things that you're going to play, maybe you need to break out this little stinger.
Transformers.
Movie!
Matt's losing his mind.
So that's right. You heard it. We could start this all over again.
Oh, God.
June 26th, 2009, Transformers 2. That apparently is the release date.
Terrific.
For the second Transformers.
So now we can start hearing more bullshit rumors every week about
every it. Every week, or as often as they are available. So there you go. Variety magazine has confirmed that. And I know I'm excited. I know Michael Bay will be attached to the project. I know Steven Spielberg will be attached to the project again.
Willie.
And there you go. Transformers 2. 2009, baby.
Absolutely
2009.
Awful.
Ah, boo. You fell asleep in the movie. You can't be a critic.
It's because I was bored to tears.
Oh, it was good. You
the second time
good.
I saw it, though, it was still no better than the first time.
You're so terrible. You want to know about Mike Vogel?
I would, sir.
What have you found out about Mike Vogel? Fantastic.
Starting in 2003, we have Grind, where he played Eric Rivers.
Okay.
And then for
Grind.
TV, it says Wuthering Heights, where he played Heath. I don't recall the character Heath. I thought it was Heathcliff. But I've never read that either. So Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Grounded for Life. He was in about maybe 15 episodes. Supercross, The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, Havoc, Rumor Has It, Poseidon, Caffeine, Open Graves, The Death of Ian Stone, and then an untitled J.J. Abrams project.
That would be the Star Trek flick, probably.
No, it's
guess.
Listed separately.
Oh, it is?
Then
oh.
Star Trek 2008. Somebody's,
oh, so maybe he's in Cloverfield also.
Somebody's sleeping with somebody.
Maybe he's in Cloverfield also.
So it's just sort of some dude. Now, this is
well,
a rumor.
Well, he was in Havoc, so, you know. That
this
was
is a rumor. It hasn't been confirmed
yet. I don't believe it's been fully confirmed yet. No.
Yeah, he's just some handsome guy.
Terrific.
Although, with all the other Star Trek news that's been coming out, I would think that it's appropriate that we finally find out who Kirk is. I mean, God only knows, we're not going to find out who Batman will be in the upcoming Justice League movie because no one wants the role. They can't find anybody to do it.
No one's dumb enough.
Well, I think you've got some pissed off directors out in Hollywood. I know Bryan Singer is rather upset. I know who's the bloke that did Batman Begins?
The bloke?
Yeah, I can't remember his
Christopher
name.
Christopher Nolan.
Thank you, Christopher Nolan.
He's
I know
also doing
Nolan
the new one, too. Is, he's I also know, the bloke in charge, yes. The BIC.
He's very upset as well, I think rightfully so. I think their concern is that if a Justice League movie gets made that involves the characters on the film franchises that they're currently working on, what does that mean for their films? Does it mean their films get postponed? Does it mean their films get less time?
This idea
care.
Is getting a lot of negative press, and
it
I got to think that that's going to affect people's decision to be involved in it. Like Jessica Biel, like, good Lord, I hope to God it makes her not want to be involved.
Oh, no,
with
she
it.
Already said, uh-uh.
Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah, she, like, a couple days after that rumor circulated, she was like, no.
Well, that's good.
So there you go. She's out.
I mean, I wouldn't mind Jessica Biel in, say, a Wonder Woman solo movie, but
sure.
This idea of putting them together is just bad, bad, bad.
Well, there were some plot points that were leaked online during the past week, so
okay.
Let's go over those real quick.
All right.
Because why not? They're out there. The characters of the film,
should obviously, we play the spoiler alert?
No.
No, because God willing, this film will never get made.
And it won't be a spoiler. The characters in the film will be Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, The Flash, and Martian Manhunter.
Okay, so I'm assuming it's the Barry Allen Flash, and I'm guessing just by randomness, it's going to be the John Stewart Green Lantern, the black one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, which is something else. The man wearing the Green Lantern ring in the JLO film will be John Stewart and not Hal Jordan or Kyle Rayner.
Right.
So there you go. John Stewart is the Green Lantern from the cartoon series, I believe. Is that correct?
John Stewart?
Yeah, isn't he the...
He was the Green Lantern in the comics as well. After Hal Jordan.
Oh, after Hal Jordan?
Uh-huh.
No, I thought Kyle Rayner.
After Hal Jordan.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. It was Stewart and then Kyle
and
Rayner.
And then Kyle Rayner.
Okay. No, you're correct.
And then what's his name was in there for a little bit, too. What's his name? Guy Gardner.
Oh.
What? Just for a little bit.
Story elements from the
now wait, let's. I just want to address this Green Lantern thing for 1 second. Did you read the article in Entertainment Weekly?
Briefly. I didn't get a
they
chance
gave
to
character descriptions on the side.
Okay.
They said that Green Lantern shoots green bursts of energy out of his ring. That was his power.
Okay. Yeah,
which I found like, rather funny considering that's not his power at all.
It's like Ecto Cooler.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. He shoots Ecto Cooler.
Does it
out
taste
of
like
ring.
Ecto Cooler? Because if it was, I'd be all about it.
You'd fight Green Lantern with your mouth open
just for the Ecto Cooler.
Hey, it's got some shelf life. That stuff.
right. You still have some of that, don't you?
No, but you can like walk into like a dollar store every once in a while and find it on the shelf.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be a little scary.
All right.
The Flash is the youngest member of the JLA, and he has a crush on Wonder Woman, apparently.
Uh-huh. Who doesn't?
Wonder Woman is portrayed as the member that acts as de facto humanitarian and the face for the League.
Who's that?
Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
She's the face, but what's Superman?
God only knows.
The bumbling strong guy in the background?
Apparently.
The balls.
Unbeknownst to the League,
Batman.
Batman has a piece of technology that he developed called the Red Eye.
Oh, so it's the OMAX story.
Yeah.
That's what the Justice League movie is going to be, is the OMAX story?
I don't know.
Oh, that's terrible.
Let's see. It's a piece of hardware that he can use to spy unbeknownst on the other League members.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. That's from the comics.
And he can use it to find out what their Achilles heel is.
Tough one there.
Yeah.
Anatomy book.
The villain that the source was not at liberty to name, the source, of course, being the person that leaked this stuff online, is apparently supposed to be, it's supposed to be someone from the Infinite Crisis storyline.
Uh-huh.
Maxwell Lord.
Maxwell Lord, yeah.
So, there
sure,
you go.
That makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah, Maxwell Lord. That's the dude that Wonder Woman kills on national TV during that Infinite Crisis storyline. She just goes, snaps his head around.
That's it? Just
he's the guy that shoots Blue Beetle in the head.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
He's the one that pops Ted Kord in the head. So.
Nice. Nicey.
Yeah, that sounds awful, actually. I hope to God that that does not come to fruition at all.
I hope so as well.
I want to talk about a couple of DVDs. Actually, I want to talk about a lot of DVDs. I heard you mention in the opening while I was thumbing through great comic classics.
Dude, Slapstick 1-4. That's all
really?
I'm saying. I'm keeping that shit.
Well, as I was thumbing through the books there, I heard you mention how trade paperbacks are coming out so rapidly now that it's almost worth waiting to get the trade paperback rather than buying the single issues.
Sure.
And then you compare that to how quickly DVDs are coming out.
Right.
Well, let me give you Exhibit A.
And there's actually a story behind Exhibit A a little bit. It's a mistake, but I'll tell you in a second.
Oh, I hope. Oh, is it? It's a mistake?
Well, it's a mistake that you got it today.
Okay. Oh, a mistake. All right. Well, I have been watching The War, the latest documentary by brilliant documentarian Ken Burns.
Yes.
And we've been taping it in high def on my DVR with the intention of watching it as we can, you know, because it's 2 hours a pop.
Sure.
7 parts, 2 hours, 14 hours total. And on the DVR, that takes up a lot of gunk. That's
sure.
a lot of room there. So what happened was I inadvertently set my DVR to delete if space is needed first episode. So it deleted the first episode. So me and Lizzie started watching episode 2.
Right.
But meanwhile, my DVR is like 75% filled. And, you know, I tape ER every day and, you know, like all my other shows. And I was getting a little concerned that something wasn't going to tape. Then I went to Best Buy yesterday. And there was The War, a Ken Burns film, right there for on DVD. On sale for $79, $80.
Not even done running on TV yet.
Right.
So the mistake is that. That DVD set was originally solicited for about 3 weeks from now, or 2 weeks from now, after the initial run of The War had finished, with about a week or so buffer. And apparently, someone pushed the date up because we got notification that the date had changed, and it was to go out effective yesterday. So I think that whoever pushed it up made an oopsie of sorts. I mean, DVD release dates are changing constantly on a week-to-week basis sometimes for certain titles, and I think this is just was a big oopsie, and it got pushed up sooner than anticipated. I'm sure that PBS is not happy about it because, you know, they have sponsorships and they run their little marathon, pay us money, blah blah blah, to keep PBS alive. And obviously, if you're watching it on the DVD now, you're not watching it on PBS, and so that is moot and no longer viable for them.
Now, right.
But you're saying when you're watching it on TV, you watch it in HD and you recorded it in HD.
Correct.
So that's not HD. It may be out on either HD, DVD, or Blu-ray as well.
I don't believe so.
It was only released in that format. Now, that's not to say that it won't be released in the future.
This is fine. This is high def enough for me.
Well, it's not high def at all. It's good quality, I'm willing to bet. Very good quality. But if you want to be particular, it's not in HD.
I wonder, was it filmed in HD, though?
I'm sure.
I would guess, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it filled the whole screen. It didn't crop off, so it must doesn't.
It can be in widescreen and not be in HD, though.
Okay.
But
you really are getting it.
I'm not. Hey. I know you're the master
He's
of.
He's getting the facts out there.
The master of the HD war.
There is no war. I hope they both kill each other. That's what I hope.
And then what?
Blu-ray and HD kill each other, and then I'm telling you, there's already a triple player out there now. This war is going nowhere. This is like Iraq. This war is just going to... We should just back up, let them kill each other, and then we're still going to get the same product anyway.
How I
Met Your Mother, Season 2.
How does that relate to this show again?
Willow's on it.
Oh, nice.
It's fine.
I was just curious.
It's fine. And what's his name is in it, too?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Doogie Howser?
Well, no, I was going to say the dude from Starship Troopers.
Doogie Howser? From Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle?
Walt Disney's The Jungle Book.
Nice.
This is a...
first time 40th, on DVD, right?
It is. First time on two-disc DVD. Of course, it'll be thrown back into the vault very soon. It's a limited time. If you haven't got it, I recommend you running out now. Now, people. Run while it's out.
Stop.
Just saying. I don't want anyone to miss it. 40th anniversary edition.
Can I bitch a little bit about Disney?
No.
Please?
If you get it at Best Buy, you get some sort of little stuffed animal something or other with it. I don't know what happened to mine.
I'm a bitch about Disney now. I'm a big Disney fan, as some of you may or may not know. I own most Disney DVDs that come out. I buy them, at least all the movies, not the sequels.
Compulsively.
Yes. I am a member of the Disney Movie Club online because, much like Columbia House, I joined up and got a bunch of free shit for like $3.
Sucker.
And so I was eagerly waiting for The Jungle Book to come out so that I can order it and I can have it delivered to me. But for some reason, as a member of their exclusive movie club online, I have to wait until the 23rd.
It's a perk.
That's not a perk. A kick in the
balls.
They
leave you salivating for something you want.
A kick in the balls.
It's a feature.
Bare necessities.
Fuck that movie club. All right, what's next, sir?
1408.
Ooh.
John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson. A thriller. I heard nice things about it.
Oh, I heard no nice things about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I heard that this is the extended director's cut with alternate ending.
Okay.
So I picked that up.
Let me ask you a question.
Why don't you ax me away?
Is that just the director's cut with only the alternate ending? Because that I can't stand on
No,
DVDs.
No, sir. It's a two-disc, disc one being the theatrical original release.
Because I have a copy of Army of Darkness that was, I think it was the original director's cut with the...
Yeah.
It looks like a Joe Jusco or some kind of painted ash on the front with like, you know, a 12-pack. And it only has the alternate ending.
Right. It's only one of 8 different versions of Army of Darkness that are out there.
You think that's the most commonly released, most often released movie?
I wonder. I would say probably if it's not the one, it's probably got to be one of
them. There's got to be 5 or 6 different versions of that movie out on DVD.
At least that many.
I think the best one so far is the Boomstick edition, I think, which is the one that I have.
Uh-uh. Nope, I'm going to disagree. It would be the second edition they put out that had 2 discs with 1 version on each disc and all the extras.
That was the Boomstick
edition. That was not the Boomstick edition.
Well, then they re-released it as the Boomstick edition because what the Boomstick edition has.
I don't think so, sir.
Hey.
Anyway,
hey.
Why don't we talk about what came out this week?
Jericho, the first season. Now, this TV show is one of those miracles of TV that it got a little bit of a fan following, and by little I mean huge, and they canceled it, and the fans went nuts, sent like 200,000 pounds of peanuts to the producers and to the network saying put Jericho back on. So now Jericho's coming back.
Yep.
Which I think that's very exciting.
Kudos to that. Was that on Fox, that show originally,
peanuts.
Does it say?
I think Let's it was CBS. It was CBS.
It was CBS. Okay.
Yeah. It's the first season. It's got a bunch of... it's a post-apocalyptic kind of gig.
Right.
They have a lot of little small town little stuff, and you follow the adventures of Jericho.
Oh, okay. Great.
in this post-apocalyptic world. I'm looking forward to watching. I've never seen a single episode,
neither have
so
I.
I'm totally bullshitting right now as to what it's about. I know it's post-apocalyptic.
I couldn't tell.
That much I know. And that it has...
it's about... They follow the lives and stories of members of a town that... I think they all... They see a mushroom cloud in the horizon one day. And they think that they are the only people left alive this town. They have somehow survived. And something along those lines. Something around there.
And how can you say no to a series that stars Skeet Ulrich?
Very easy.
No.
Skeet Ulrich.
All right. What else, sir?
Of course, the big release this week for our people would be Fantastic Four, The Rise of the Silver Surfer. I haven't seen it yet.
Neither have I.
I'll be honest. I haven't seen it.
But
I've seen a lot of it, but I haven't seen the entire thing.
But I hear if you buy it at Best Buy, it comes with a pewter dragon.
Well, no, but...
Damn!
It comes with a gray surfer.
What nice. Gray. The gray surfer. He's a little older. what it does come with, if you buy it for an extra $5, you get a Silver Surfer figurine from Hasbro.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but it's not what you
it's
would
not great.
Call really good.
The board is nice.
Wait.
The piece is nice.
Is the board all chromed out and he's not? He's
yeah,
gray
yeah
plastic?
That was kind of one of the criticisms of it, is that he is gray.
What's on his hand? It looks like he's throwing a fireball from
it looks,
here.
He is. Yeah, it looks to me like he's launching some sort of blast. Mm. And it also comes with Marvel Digital Comic DVD.
Right. It has some sort of Jack Kirby documentary on
right.
there.
The Lost Jack Kirby story. And the Fantastic Four Ultimate Extinction Series, 5 digital comics.
Right.
In addition to that, you also get exclusive interviews with Marvel executive editor Tim Brevoort. You also get an exclusive Marvel editor-in-chief, Joe Quesada, quote, in the house clip, end quote.
Is that like Cribs with Joe Quesada?
I hope so.
They go into his kitchen, it's nothing but Slim Fast.
Maybe it's a rap battle.
Nice.
With Joe Quesada?
Yo mama.
Look, let me tell you what I have to say about Marvel and Joe Quesada. Blech.
Ooh, that's twice in one episode, sir.
Also, character bios on Galactus, Invisible Woman, Mr. Fantastic, Torch Thing, and Doom. Nice. It's a nice little thing. For $5, you get that. You get the figurine. It's nice, a nice little exclusive.
Sure. I'd like to just give an update on a DVD box set that you don't have here in studio, but that we did talk about last week in episode 76, Helmets. That would be the Star Trek The Next Generation Complete Series box set. We had a question as to what the price point on such set would be, and that would be $3.99.
What
was the price that I saw?
$400.
Now, it was how many seasons? Nine?
Nine or ten, yeah.
So it's less than 100 a season. It's probably 50 a season. Or, no. Yeah? Somewhere what? Around there.
I was going to guess $1 million.
Yes, Dr.
But $3.99 is even worse.
I'm going to pick it up.
But, yeah, so, I don't know, $3.99 for 10 seasons, let's say. That's a whopping $39.99 a season, which really isn't bad when you think about it. That's a pretty reasonable price for a TV box set. But, I don't know. You'd have to be a really big, rich fan to buy it all at once.
I want it.
Well, of course you do. It's you, and you must have it. But, you know.
Got anything else?
That's all I got, sir.
Because I
got
to get back to sorting these books.
No, you don't. Don't touch those books.
Why?
Because we have a show to do, sir.
But I got to sort the Ta-da! Books. Look, we need to take a break anyway. I'm going to go sort some books. Fantastic's going to run some commercials. And then I'll come back, and okay. We'll talk about some other things.
Okay.
Presumably.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds. N-E-R-D-Z.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at nerdzrule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds Rule!
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. A man is born.
Hey, this is Gary Coleman.
Hey, this is Todd Ritter from Different Strokes.
What you talking about, Willis?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Different strokes it takes. Different strokes it takes. Different strokes to move the world.
With me, oh yeah, sell out with me too.
Kevin! Kevin! Let's go!
I'm coming. I found a run of Jimmy Olsen, Superman's pal.
Dude, he is completely and totally uncommitted tonight.
Ooh, Sergeant Rock.
See what I mean?
Step up. Step up to the mic.
All right. We're going to do a quick little one, hey. Two, three. Okay. Hey, thanks for joining the show.
Okay.
Big Kev with us in studio, folks.
What are we doing?
We're going to do a quick little toy review.
Ooh.
We got three things I'd like to talk about.
We haven't done that in a while.
Two episodes back. So why don't we talk about what you have first? Because you're likely to get distracted in under 30 seconds. So we should get through what you have.
Well, let me tell you that when I say that.
One, two.
You counting for?
I wanted to see if
you're distracting
last more than 30
me.
Seconds.
You're distracting
Go
me.
Go ahead.
When I tell you that it does come as a surprise to me that I am liking these toys as much as I am. It pains me to say so. But what we're talking about here is the legendary comic book heroes from Marvel Toys.
It's true.
Marvel Toys, as you know, the company formerly known as Toy Biz, who no longer makes Marvel Toys.
Right.
But they're called Marvel Toys. So that's interesting. Anyway, these are, this is series one of the line, and series two is actually hot on its heels and coming out. What they've done here is that because Marvel Toys is no longer making Marvel Toys, I guess some people over there, I don't want to mention any names because I always get in trouble for doing that, because you can't say anything about anybody because this is America. And that being said, this person has gone out and he has picked up licenses for some independent characters, some interesting characters, and it should be said that exactly what I said the first time we talked about this is I don't see the appeal of most of these characters, except to hardcore fans who are going to be going to their comic book stores looking for them and likely not going to find them there, because these are really being aimed at more of a mass market, like Walmart and so on and so forth. So that aside, let's talk about Series 1, because they did come out great. Okay? Ripclaw, which was already...
Ripclaw.
I know. Ripclaw, which was already done as a... My second problem with this, of course, is that all of these figures, all of them, have been already done, if I'm not mistaken. Matt, am I mistaken about that? I think I'm not.
No, not at all.
Ripclaw was done by McFarlane, certainly.
Correct.
Judge Dredd, who is also in the line, was done. I can't remember who did them, but somebody did a bunch of those 2000 AD
figures.
Toys.
Yeah, there was a Judge Dredd and a Judge
like a Stronium
Death,
Dog
there?
And a Judge Death.
Judge Death was in there. I don't
somebody
remember
else
the
was in there.
Too. But yeah, they were done.
Super Patriot, of course, was done by McFarlane. Madman was done by Graffiti in their Big Blast line. Savage Dragon was done by McFarlane. And also, when the animated series came out, someone did the animated series. I want to say Playmates? Playmates.
Yes.
I think Playmates did it. And Witchblade, which was done by More Action Collectibles.
Correct.
That comprises Series 1. Couple of variants. Savage Dragon variant has a wife beater on.
Right.
And the Super Patriot variant has the mask off and a couple little things different about the sculpt. The real story here, of course, is the Build-A-Figure. Now, it should be said Legendary comic book heroes are 6-inch. They're super articulated. They are the bastard stepchild of the Marvel Legends, of course, which started this, the DC version of the 6-inch.
Right.
Is hot on its heels coming out the end of the year with their Series 1, which also has a Build-A-Figure. Those figures are fantastic. And it should be said that, by and large, the sculpts here are okay. This to me boils down to character selection, much like it has when Toy Biz was selecting characters from Marvel. These figures have all been done already. Generally speaking, they've all been in the 6-inch range.
Right.
But the big story here, I got distracted there for a second, but the big story here is the Build-A-Figure.
Which is impressive.
I mean, it's totally impressive.
I mean, that's
story, yeah. It's Pitt.
Yeah.
Again, it's kind of one of those characters you're like, Pitt, who the hell is Pitt? Del Keown book?
Yep.
For like, what, was it many issues? I don't even remember being many issues.
It was only a handful of issues. I mean, I think Dale had some personal problems that he went through and blah, blah, blah.
Well, in any event, the Pitt figure is humongous. I mean, this is what a Build-A-Figure should be. And I have been critical of some of the Marvel Legends Build-A-Figures, like Mojo, which I thought was a great Build-A-Figure, but he was kind of on the small side. I thought that the Magneto Xavier
Onslaught
I thought they did A, the wrong version of Onslaught, A, and B, that he was kind of smallish.
Who is that pink and purple and green
Annihilus,
thank you.
Annihilus I thought was pretty cool, but he's only slightly larger.
Right.
I think they could have got away with packaging him in such a way as to make him fit, because She-Hulk's slightly larger than them, and they made her fit.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad choice, but when you see something like this, like Pitt, Legendary Comic Book Heroes Series 1, Pitt, when you see this kind of Build-A-Figure,
uh-huh,
and you put it up against, say, a Mojo,
although it blows it away.
Yeah, I mean, the Blob also one of those. He's slightly larger, and I'm glad we got him as a Build-A-Figure.
Blob.
But Pitt, I mean, this thing weighs like 3 pounds.
To be honest with you, Pitt is what they should have done with the Hulk. They should have done Build-A-Figure that was this scale. Because that is an amazing, that's a really nice piece. I'm not going to lie. I want that piece so bad, I'd almost consider buying the line. But more than likely, I'll just try to find a built one someplace and pick it up that way.
Right. He's fully articulated, which is important. You put him together, he snaps tight. He stays. He's good. He's a great figure.
Yeah.
He's a great figure. I think the shame of it is that it's kind of, some of these other figures in the line are a bit questionable.
Sure.
And they come with a variety of, some of them come with accessories. Madman comes with the Zap Gun, which is debatable whether that's the right gun that he should have, because he shot one of those disc guns, but I think this was another one that he used. Witchblade did not come with any sort of Witchblade formation weapon, which she usually has, which I thought she would. Kevin, however, who is the little kid associated
Pitt.
With Pitt, comes as a PVC, which is appropriate.
With who?
Of the parts. I don't remember which one. He might have come with Madman.
Oh, okay, maybe.
The point is that you get him. Pitt's a great figure. If you're a Pitt fan, you're buying this. There's no question.
Oh, sure.
I mean, if you're a fan of really good articulated figures, this is one of them.
Sure.
And I agree with you totally. They should have done the Hulk this way right from the get-go. But, of course, they didn't. We've talked about that. We're going to reiterate here, the Hulks that you want to get for your 6-inch line were those
Roto.
No, they weren't the Roto. They were the Legends, but they were
Icons
like
Icons.
Icons, yeah. Hulk. There's a gray and a green. Pick them up. If you can still get them, you should get them. Those are the ones that are in scale with your 6-inch line, as is Pitt. It's awesome. A little preview on Series 2. Series 2 has begun to hit.
Right.
I managed to, from one Toy Mike, managed to get Judge Death, who is the figure in the line, first figure in the line. Next is Marv from Sin City.
Right.
Who Judge Death has been done. Marv has been done.
Well, there was a movie version done.
Movie version and a comic book version.
Well, the only comic book version that's been done is the one in the chair, isn't it?
No, sir.
Who did sir. I don't remember someone doing
a There comic was a regular version. Comic book version of Marv that was not in the
Who
chair.
Did it?
Also.
Was it NECA that did it?
I think it was McFarlane.
I thought McFarlane only did the chair.
No,
okay.
NECA did the movie once.
Okay.
I'm sure of it. I'm sure McFarlane did it. Fantastic. I'm actually going to look it up now. Let me know. Then there's Stryker, who's part of
Cyberforce.
Isn't he part of Cyberforce?
He got multiple arms, right?
Yeah. So another Cyberforce figure,
right?
To join Ripclaw. So if there's actually anybody who's a fan of Cyberforce,
there you go.
Like you, you can pick that up. Darkness,
okay.
Who was also done by More Action Collectibles, I believe. Stryker was also done by
right.
McFarlane, I think. And then there's a character called Star.
I'm not familiar with Star.
He's from the Freak Force.
I'm not familiar with the Freak Force.
An Image book that I have never heard of.
Huh.
So Star, he's kind of a basic generic looking masked superhero kind of guy. But I don't know anything about him. I'd like to tell you some more about him. I just don't know anything. And then, finally, rounding out the six is Anne O'Brien.
Okay, right. And then the Build-A.
Because the Build-A-figure is Monkey Man.
Right.
From the very short-lived Art Adams illustrated series, Monkey Man and O'Brien.
Not going to lie to you. Kind of want Monkey Man and O'Brien also.
Yeah, the Monkey Man figure is if he's half as impressive as that Pit figure.
I think that's where my problem with this line is going to lie. I'm going to want the Build-A's and nothing else. Now, before we move away from this line, before we go on to what's next.
I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
Well, first of all, let me just say that Judge Death, the only variant we know for sure is that there is a clear Judge Death
right.
variant. That said, go on what we were going to say about Monkey Man.
No, actually, I wasn't going to say anything about Monkey Man.
Oh,
actually.
I am.
Oh, well, then say, and then I'll say my
piece.
Well,
the piece that comes with Judge Death is Monkey Man's left foot and
right.
leg. Except for the fact that at the joint, he's colored, the foot is colored like it's a foot, but the rest of the foot seems to be green, like he's wearing some sort of shoe. In the prototype picture on the package, however, it's hard to tell, but it certainly looks like it's darker, and this seems to be the same color. So I don't know if...
I hope there's not a paint problem.
I'm wondering if there's a paint problem.
Huh.
I'm wondering.
If you look very closely, there's texture that looks like fabric texture on the foot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was just looking at that, which kind of calls to mind what direction they're going.
Also,
there.
maybe he is wearing some
sort of
foot
shoe
covering, and the reason that the joint is uncovered is because it's the gap between
it could
whatever
be,
legging or
right.
pant he wears.
It could
and
be
the
that.
Shoe.
It could be that. Except it's a little nondescript on the picture of Monkey Man on the.
I
back.
Think we're gonna have to see the figure completed.
I think
to make
so we'll revisit this right. when that figure becomes available.
All right,
full.
Real quick, and I don't want to spend any more time on this than about 10 seconds. Before anybody beats us up, or before anybody says that we're a hypocrite, we're not a hypocrite. We didn't like the politics behind how the line was picked up and how it was produced.
Right.
We never fully said that we weren't going to like some of the figures other than we didn't like some of the choices and selections. That being said, there's our review, Indie Legends 1 and 2.
Right. We're not – yeah, again, I'm gonna back up what you say. Never said that I wasn't going to get these.
Right.
Never said that they weren't interesting. In fact, the Build-A-Figure is what drew me to the first series to begin with.
It drew everybody to the first series.
Because really, all of those figures have been done. Most of them in the second wave have been done. So it's not like, you know, okay, granted, maybe they don't have, the original ones didn't have the articulation that these do, and maybe they weren't the greatest sculpts in the world. Although I thought the Man-Man figure was totally fine. I thought Judge Dredd was totally fine, as was Savage Dragon, as was Ripclaw. In fact, Savage Dragon and Ripclaw from the Image 10th Anniversary Series from McFarlane were great figures. I thought the Witchblade figure was good for what it was. I mean, that being said, I just don't I don't see how these can be a success.
Right.
In the sense that you're going to have to find very specific collectors who are interested in these. You have to be, this has have to be something that it's either somebody's collecting all 6-inch like I am, or it's somebody that is really a big fan of Judge Dredd, has to have every Judge Dredd figure and so forth. Let's move on, because I don't want to spend all night on that, because it pains me.
I have here in front of me the Tonner Inc. It's tonerinc.com. Spider-Man 3 figure.
Okay.
Collectible. I don't know what you're going to classify
figure.
It as. I think he's about 18 inches
right.
in height. He's his suit is actual spandex, and there is a Parker underneath it. We've seen the sculpt. The packaging on it is pretty nice, kind of dull, but nice.
It's actually, it's nice that they're remaining constant in the packaging, in the sense that they're all black.
I tell you what I like about this packaging versus, let's say, the Harry Potter packaging. The way this packaging works is, it's a regular rectangular box. You could pop the box top off. And if you pop the box top off...
He's got twist ties.
Yeah, he does have twist ties. Thank you, McFarlane. If you pop the box top off, you actually could display him...
In the box.
Because right. of the way the angle and cut of the box is. It's almost like a display box. Plus, there's a cityscape background in there.
Kind of a graphic.
So, yeah, so if you wanted to display a package, you could. That being said, obviously, we would both prefer that you open it up and display it outside of the box. Because,
oh, you'd prefer that, poser?
Well, shut up. And it's how it's meant to be displayed. But if you wanted to keep it in the box, they do make it available for you to do that. I think it's a nice figure. I think it is what we expected from Tonner. And there it is. I don't know.
He's actually got a zipper.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's because I think it's a bodysuit. I don't think the mask is removable. Just the mask is removable.
It's like one of those sweatshirts.
Funniest thing. He just... He grabbed the top of the head and tried to pull it off like it was a hood, or like, you know, it was a one piece. It was just going to pop right off. The face, he was like, huh? This ain't coming
off. I think that might be the only complaint that I have, to be honest with you, with this, is that I kind of wish that they would have separated the head so that if you wanted to, not the head of the figure, the head of the costume, the mask portion of the costume. So if you wanted to display him in the Spider-Man costume without the Spider-Man mask,
but it looks
mask,
like
you could
the material is
there's
so
another
tight.
Layer. No, there's another layer. This is another layer
of material.
It looks
like he's webbed.
Yeah, it's like a body stocking.
Ew. Yeah, but I think it's meant to kind of thicken it up and fill it out a bit. But it's nice. It's a nice piece.
No, it's definitely, it's a great piece. I'm trying to get it open so we can look. I'm telling you, I think they got the Tobey Maguire likeness very good on this figure. I'm trying to get to it.
We should say that unlike the DC Stars line that Tonner puts out, these are based on the movie license. I mean, I know we've been saying Spider-Man 3, but in case you didn't pick up on it, this isn't like a Marvel license. This is a Spider-Man 3 license.
Yeah, and you know what? They got a nice likeness on there, too.
Oh, sure. We saw him at, I think we saw him at San Diego, and we might have even seen him at Toy Fair. I don't remember if we saw him that far back. But...
Maguire? I saw him at San Diego last year when you weren't there.
So there you go.
All I'm saying is from here, it looks like Julie Andrews.
Everyone looks like Julie Andrews to you.
Come on, look at that.
The hills are alive with the sound of webbing.
No, it's not. Look closer at him.
I don't want to get any closer to that thing. You just took its hood off, and then there was like this friction membrane stocking thing, and then a wrapper. It was like a wrapper.
Plastic
it's
wrapper.
Gross.
They always do that to keep the hair nice.
It's as
fantastic.
Though he was giving birth.
He's
it's
got like the real hair.
He came out, and he was like...
It's a great piece. It's what we've come to expect from Tonner. We do support Tonner and everything that they do. Spider-Man 3 license was a good license for them.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see what piece is next in the line.
I think it's Mary Jane, isn't it?
And to be honest with you, as much as I may or may not like the movies, I'd almost like to see them get a license to do Fantastic Four. I think I'd like to see a Reed Richards or a Sue Storm piece out of them. I don't know about a thing, but a Reed Richards and Sue Storm could be very nice. And if they're getting... movie licenses, it would be appropriate.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, you can check out all the offerings from Tonner over at, is it tonnerinc.com?
It is tonnerinc.com. I tested it. It's Tonnerinc.
Tonnerinc.com. And you can check out all their great lines. The DC Stars line, the Harry Potter line, and the Spider-Man 3 line, of course, which we have the Spider-Man 3 here tonight. What are you so excited about over there?
I have one more thing, and this is kind of like...
Well, do it quick, because I got like 18 long boxes to go through.
I know, but this is like... It's a teaser. It's an intro to the third segment of tonight's show that we're going to get to after a quick break, but let's get there first. These are the Castlevania figures coming out from NECA. I was looking in the latest Toy Review magazine, Lee's Toy Review. It's number 180. It has these figures on the front. For those of you who don't know, it's four figures. It's Simon Belmont, Alucard, Dracula, and the Succubus. And I think they look freaking awesome.
Goddamn Succubus.
I think these are probably the best video game figures that NECA has put out so far. Because I wasn't
really
a huge fan of that Legends line.
Well, that God of War figure was pretty awesome.
And the Lara Croft, I was kind of so-so on. But these look really, really pretty.
There's some kind of special little digitized figures there that one's painted like Simon.
They're called pixelated Simon Belmonts.
Those
I believe
cool.
These were first out at San Diego. Now you can get them. They're smaller scale figures, and they look like the original Nintendo graphic
of looks
Simon
like the sprites
Belmont.
Side-scrolling left to right.
Yeah.
From, I think it's Castlevania 1 and Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest, right? The red and the black one?
Yes.
They look
so
cool.
It is. It's a good line, and I'm really impressed with them. The paint jobs are nice. The sculpts are really nice. I mean, the Succubus figure, they had to change because her cans were showing in the original sculpt, and I guess there was a little bit of issue with that, so they had to cover it up. But according to this article that I'm reading, all they did was cover it up with a piece of plastic. The figures are still anatomically correct.
Mike.
So for those of you who want the figure as the character appeared in the game, you could probably pop that piece off.
I got two words for you.
What?
Goo-gon.
That's what I'm saying.
You just drop a little goo-gon in there because it's glued on. So you just drop a little goo-gon and off comes
this
the
This sounds like a task for Pervert Ken. Perhaps we'll put him up to it once I get the figure in.
My cat's got nipples, Matt.
Well, you know,
really?
Just saying.
Do you milk your cat?
Let's take a break.
Let's do it.
And we'll be back.
Everyone around you was.
Attention Geek Stuff listeners. Do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKevsGeekStuff.com or the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKevsGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the best geek exposure for your advertising dollar.
Advertising space. No one learned from your mistakes. We let our profits go to waste. All that's left.
Johnny Blaze, no one has ever attempted such a distance before. 300 feet from field goal to field goal. What's going through your mind right now?
You look really good.
Hey, this is Ava Mendez from Ghost Rider, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Step.
Let's ride.
And we're back on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 77.
Selling our shit.
Right. There, I did it. Now can I go back to the long boxes?
No. We have a third segment, sir.
I know, but this is like you in
Listen,
fantastic
part
territory.
Part of this segment has to do with the Wii. You can go. Actually, if you want to go, go. Go to your long boxes and scream and shout whatever you want to shout.
Fine.
We're going to talk video games.
Ooda lolly.
All right. Why don't we talk about the Xbox information that you have? Because I didn't read about this, and you did. So tell me. Share with me.
He looks at me like I prepare for this.
Well, you said the Wii. You didn't say anything about the Xbox.
Oh, you said you wanted to go over there.
Matt, let's talk about the Wii.
All right, let's talk about the Wii. So for those of you who know...
So Matt, Xbox
right
is coming out in 65 nanometer processor.
You said you were going to talk about the Wii.
No, we didn't.
You said, Matt, let's talk about the Wii. And then
I
leave,
I don't remember that.
And then you start talking about the Xbox.
I don't remember that.
Which are you talking about?
What do you want to talk about? We'll talk about that.
If you're going to talk about Xbox, I'll be part of the conversation. You're going to talk about the Wii-diculous?
Kev.
I'm going to walk over there and do long boxes.
Your Halo 3 Special Edition Xbox could possibly be a redesigned Falcon motherboard 65 nanometer Xbox.
Now, what does that mean?
Exactly. What does that mean?
Yes,
it means,
what does that mean? And how do I know if I have
We heard
one
about
of those?
Microsoft footing the bill for like a couple billion bucks
right.
to take in defective Xboxes and fix them.
Right.
The red ring of death is what the Xbox exhibits around the little power button when there's a problem. And result is you have to send it into them. It's due to a hardware problem, the way the thing was designed.
Overheating and
okay.
such?
It overheats. Part of it warps, and the heatsink on the GPU causes it to come loose.
Loose, okay.
So basically, a connection fails on the inside, and your thing goes the way the Dodo. You send it them, they send it back.
Right.
Even when they send it back, there's nothing they can really do to fix it for sure. So people have been waiting for like 2.5 years now for them to fix it for good. And just now, and I think it's like lot 753 of the Halo 3 Edition Xbox, people are popping them open and seeing on the inside a completely redesigned motherboard without the piece that was causing the warping in the old one.
Right.
And a newer, different 65 nanometer processor, which means that it's a smaller die. It's like it's just smaller parts on the actual processor.
Okay, now you said people are popping them open and finding this. Are you being serious? And that like people or did Microsoft announce this as well?
No,
or is it...
no. Well, what Microsoft does is
they hide
is soft hardware launches when they change these and they do these revisions. So they don't say anything; they just make these changes.
Okay.
But there's an entire scene of people out there who really just buy these things and resell them, and they pop them open just to check and to hack it and things like that. So they as soon as it happens, as soon as a new revision or a new variant comes out, the HDMI version, the Pro version, the Premium version, different size hard drive, blah blah blah, they just pop them open and look inside. And if you look at the internals on this one as opposed to the old one, it's much more clean. There's no giant brass heat pipe running around the thing.
Right.
And a lot of people that I've heard of have been waiting to buy this one rather than the other one, the previous one, because they knew if they bought it, even if they bought it, a newer model, it would have the problem. It could possibly have the problem.
Now, let me ask you this.
Supposedly, you won't.
Now, let me ask you this.
Depending what lot number you get.
Yeah, now I want to know. Now, do I have a good one?
We can check. The specs are on the screen. We can open yours up. There's a couple things you can do. If you look into the sides and you don't see this heat pipe running in there, chances are good that you have the newer one.
Okay.
The only way to really know for sure is to pop it open or to know exactly what you're looking for. There's also a specific lot number that you can check for.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is good.
This is good, but...
But Microsoft has been saying that there's no problem. There's no problem. And right now, if you go to UPS, the UPS store... They'll have like, 6 to 8 of these things queued up, ready to go in a box every day because they're taking them back all the time and lots of people are having problems.
Well, I'm sure if you were to ask Uh-oh. Someone at Microsoft, they would say that it's still not a problem, that they've just decided to make changes to the hardware to perhaps make it more efficient, or it was cheaper to do it this way, or this is just the next way how they're going to handle it. And it's not correcting a problem. It's just a new way of doing what they were already doing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Erase. You're not a Microsoft puppet.
No, not really. I like the Xbox, though.
I like Apple.
I don't want mine to overheat. As soon as I put my Halo 3 disc in, thing froze.
Really?
Yeah. Really, just froze.
Wow.
I rebooted it, and I was like, it begins. I knew. As soon as I got the game, I drop it in, Red Rings of Death, but I didn't get the Red Rings of Death. It just froze maybe 2 or 3 times. I put it in there. I'm going to attribute to something with the disc. I gave it a little tap and a kiss, rebooted it, and it's been working.
I've encountered any problems with mine except for the mystery of whether my Dead Rising disc was scratched in the old Xbox or in my new one. But I played Halo 3 and that hasn't gotten scratched. And I haven't had any freeze ups or anything crazy.
Mm-hmm. Good luck. Let's talk about the Wii.
Let's talk about the Wii.
And I'm out of here.
All right. So for those of you who have been following the Wii or listen to our show regularly.
Maybe playing the Wii.
Playing the Wii, perhaps. You know that they had some problems early on with the Wiimotes in that the strap was breaking and the Wiimotes were flying out of people's hands and smashing into each other, televisions, perhaps fragiles and valuables lying aboot the house.
Or other people's heads.
Or other people's heads. So Nintendo has, and not at really anybody's request, I think they've just kind of decided to do this to ensure that there are no future problems in addition to strengthening the strap, mm-hmm. developed what they're calling the Wii Remote Jacket.
Or what I like to call the Wii Condom.
It is a Wii Condom.
That's what it looks like.
Now, this covers the entire, not the entire remote, it covers just the edges of the remote. Is that correct?
This isn't like groundbreaking or anything.
No, not at all.
But it is novel.
Sock.
It is novel in its design when you look at it. Because there's other jackets that exist out there already. They're usually made of like rubber or silicone and you stretch it over it.
Right.
And it's supposed to provide a little bit of friction for your hand.
Sure.
I find that if your hand gets a little sweaty, sometimes it even makes it worse. But they're meant to protect it.
Right.
This one, though, is very top heavy. It has like a big bulb on the end of it, right near the IR emitter.
Right. That's
or transceiver.
We'll get to that in a sec. Let's talk a little bit about this.
Okay.
Insofar as Nintendo has decided to do this, going forward, it is going to be something that comes with your Wii.
Yeah.
So it'll come with the Wiimote that comes with the Wii. I don't know if it'll come with every single additional Wiimote that you buy, like when you go and buy your third and fourth controller. I don't know that it's going to come with them.
I would imagine eventually, if they're going to package it like that,
right.
It makes sense because you need one for every Wiimote. It doesn't, you know, if you have four people playing, you want them all protected.
Well, four is a good number, and it's a magic number, because what Nintendo is doing out of the graciousness of their heart is if you currently are a Wii owner, there's a website that you can go to, and I think we could probably make the link available to the listeners. Fantastic, yes?
We'll consider it.
You can click on this website, input some personal information, name, address, etc., as well as the serial number of your current Wii.
Right.
And you can request up to four of these Wii jackets that they will send you for free at no charge to you.
This is pretty much the same system they use for the stronger wrist strap.
Yeah, it's exactly the same kind of thing. So I think it's novel that Nintendo is recognized as a problem, and they keep moving forward, and they're trying to do it. My problem, however, goes back to what you said. It looks top-heavy. The Wiimote is very comfortable in my hand already, and it's balanced. And sometimes after playing games for a long period of time where I'm holding the Wiimote with the sensor pointing at the screen, bowling and such, or other games like that, my arm gets tired of holding it out there.
I'm sorry.
I'm not going to lie. It gets tired.
I'm sorry. So you're playing a game and your little arm is shaking back and forth.
It gets a little shaky. It starts to give a little. My concern is that this
really?
Stupid
it's
thing.
With all that masturbating, you wouldn't have any problems.
Shut up. Shut up and keep looking for your dumb books, ass. My concern is that even if this thing only weighs a couple of ounces, which I'm guessing it's not like it's a pound, you know what I mean? But even at a couple ounces, I'm wondering if it's going to throw the balance of the remote off because it is top heavy. It's not even throughout the distribution of the remote. And it's, you know, it might disrupt some of the sensitivity because it looks like it kind of goes right around the top where the sensor is. And I don't know.
I'm thinking that they would have thoroughly tested it to the point where if it does create an imbalance in it.
Right.
The imbalance is so small that it doesn't create, you know, it doesn't affect the playability of it.
Right.
And I'd be willing to bet that doesn't obscure the front of it in any way that affects your playing.
I hope not, but I guess I won't know until I actually have one on my Wii.
So, like I was saying before, it has like a big bulb on the end.
Yeah.
It's super padded around that area.
Yeah.
And from what I heard, and this is the reason they're doing it, it's because they want to protect kids from just whacking other kids in the face with it.
Really? Like on the backswing?
Yeah, so there's like, it's like substantial padding compared to other models of jackets and things that you
can buy. So they'll still suffer injuries due to blunt force trauma.
Exactly.
But
they won't get cut or lacerated.
Okay, excellent. So there it is. So you can get your free Nintendo Wii Remote jackets. Hopefully through the graciousness of Mr. Fantastic, we will put a link up on the site somewhere, or I'll try to do it if the bastard won't do it for us. And there it is. You can get your four jackets. Let's move on to this last topic, which is a little bit bigger. It's not specific to any one system so much. It's actually more geared towards computer-based games, MMORPGs to be specific. And this would be, can video game cheating be prevented? This was an Associated Press article that I found online the other day. And I don't know. It's kind of crazy. What they're talking about here is if you play an MMO, people go in and they hack their computer system or they hack the game so that the information that you're sending to the game versus the information that the game is actually processing is different. Is that?
Well, I don't know. I don't play these games, but right. I'm assuming that there's some kind of script that you can put together that it takes one click and turns it into however many clicks you want.
Right. The
or
example
takes one
here
bit
is...
of input and turns it into whatever you want.
Right. So what it does is it essentially makes you more powerful and you need to spend less time fighting things.
Most of these games are based around repeated clicking.
Right.
That's easily exploited because you just, multiply one click by however many clicks you want.
Sure.
And there's a whole bunch of different scripting languages and things you can do that. There's even some little hardware mods that you can do, like on your mouse to, cause a little pulse and things like that. But this article gets at some kind of solution to this, right?
Yeah, it does. It gets into, apparently there are some things out there already. There's a company called... I'm sorry. I'm pulling a Big Kev, guys. I apologize.
What?
Nothing. Apparently, there are some of these things out there already. There's a company called Even Balance Inc., which makes a cheating detection software called Punk Buster.
Yeah, man.
And have you heard of this
yeah.
before?
It's been around for a long time.
Okay, so what does Punk Buster do? Because this doesn't really get into what they do. Do you know how it...
No, honestly, I don't play PC games enough to even explain to you how it works now.
Wait, I do.
Okay.
Big Kev does, though. Sit down, dude.
When
Join
I
us.
Used to play, what was the...
Galaxies?
Was that? No. Before Galaxies.
No.
It was, what was that very popular...
Is it a first-person shooter?
Yes.
Yeah, I used to use Punk Buster to play Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike, that's
yeah.
the one I
okay.
was thinking of. I think what Punk Buster does, it... is when you sign in, it's that they're able to monitor certain things so that you're not able to cheat. And they eliminate
yeah.
the ability to...
cheat.
What they do is eliminate the ability to activate those cheats within the game because you're using their ID software.
But this was something that was built into the game already? It's not
No,
something-
this was... It was originally something that was made by third party that you'd have to download
right
and if you connected to a particular server the server would mandate it for
okay.
you to connect. I don't know the the technical parts of it, but what Kev is saying is probably right in theory.
Okay, well, so Punk Buster already exists, but the big one that's coming which I thought is really kind of crazy in the grand scheme of things is Intel is actually developing something. Intel's The technology that they're trying to do would actually embed a module in the circuitry of the PC that would keep track of mouse clicks and keyboard strokes
mm-hmm.
and then send that information over the server directly to the game makers and their server so that they could monitor this type of stuff. So, for example, the game would register that you've just clicked something 100 times, but the chip on your Intel processor is saying you only clicked once. The reason I think this is kind of nutty and crazy is because if Intel is developing it, right, and they're going to be putting it in machines, then theoretically it's not going to be something special you have to buy. They're just going to develop it into their chips and the circuitry of machines going forward. The
right.
fact that they have to do that because of MMOs is kind of mind-blowing. I mean, it really speaks measures for how big MMOs have gotten and how much they affect...
Yeah, but
gaming.
I don't think it's only massive games. I mean, there's cheating that goes on in every different type of game.
Oh,
every
sure.
Every genre, every style of game. So, I mean, first-person shooters, when I played them, there were, little aim bots that would point the cursor at your enemy's head automatically, causing you to get a headshot for every shot.
For every shot.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's console cheats that you can do. I mean, the Halo cheats were notorious and driving people away from the game,
and
myself included. No, I'd
well,
yes.
I think another thing that this article points out, which is a personal pet peeve of mine, I think what's really bringing this to light and what's really pushing it forward is the fact that people are spending actual currency for in-game items and characters.
Can't do that in Star Wars Galaxies anymore.
Well, you could, I guess, but if you get caught, they'd kick you off. But theoretically, you could still do it. I mean... What's to stop you from having a million credits? I say, look, I need half a million credits. I give you $200 at a game. I sign into the game. Your character gives my character half a million credits. Star Wars Galaxies has no real way to track that other than why did he just give him half a million credits? Well, we're friends and we've been grouping for years. And so we did a bunch of missions together and he gave me a bunch of credits. I mean, they can't prove that that's cheating. They could question it, certainly, and it would probably be a questionable action. But I think it would be hard to prove that it's cheating, that I gave Big Kev $200 in cash. You know, but I think...
Yeah, that would be hard to prove.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be hard to prove you gave me $2 in cash.
It'd be hard to prove you gave me anything in cash. But anyway, I think it's pretty impressive that games, I guess, maybe I shouldn't limit it to MMOs, but games are having such a profound effect that we have to change how systems are being developed and the kind of circuitry that goes into systems to stop or track or prevent these things. I don't know. It's kind of
I don't know if the article says anything about this, but I mean, think about it at a higher level. If there's a little chip that sits on your motherboard that monitors every keystroke and sends every keystroke to somebody,
oh, sure.
It doesn't have to be in a game.
Oh, sure. It could be.
Know, that could always be used to exploit you in some way.
Oh, sure. It's privacy and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah. I don't know where this is actually going to go. I mean, I like the fact that they're trying to find ways to remedy cheating. And if it has to be done on a hardware level, that's fine. I don't think the right way is necessarily sending all of your input directly to some party out there.
And maybe this is just me being cynical or pessimistic, but I think that as long as these games exist, some form of cheating will exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you'll ever be able to completely eliminate it. I think it's probably next to impossible. And every time you think that you've developed something to stop it, someone will figure out a way to get around it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just the nature of technology and gaming. So, you know, I just thought it was interesting. It was a good article.
Cool.
That's all I got. I think we should take a break.
We'll be back with the wrap up.
Hello, dear listener, Kev here. When I'm looking for the absolute best in action figure news and entertainment, I look no further than action-figure.com. They have the latest news, information, pictures, and exciting stuff that I'm looking for. Once again, that's action-figure.com. Go there today.
Sorry, Adrian.
That's all right. Has anybody told him that his British accent is just, like, really terrible?
You should have heard his African-American.
God, blimey!
Hey, this is Samuel L. Jackson from Snakes on a Plane, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Had you waited for the cue from Fantastic,
shut up.
You wouldn't have screwed it up.
Don't you have more boxes to look through?
Matt.
Yep. Let's get through the wrap up.
Go ahead.
All right. Episode 77. What did we talk about? Real quick. Remake of Karate Kid, Will Smith producing, his brat of a child starring in.
I think that's an unfair characterization of Mr. Smith's child.
Maybe it is, but I don't care. I'm allowed to have an opinion.
What's his opinion?
Transformers 2, June 26th, 2009. So expect to hear the stinger, boys and girls. It's coming back.
Oh, terrific.
JLA movie. We talked about some of the plot spoilers. Mostly, no, none of us really care because none of us think it's going to fully happen or go through. What we do care about
is the fact
that Christopher Nolan and Bryan Singer are both a little upset, and I think rightfully so.
And I guess Hot Beale is out.
Hot Beale out. And Mike Vogel also looks like he may be cast as Captain Kirk in Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams rendition of the franchise.
It's Trek, man. It's Star Trek.
Sorry.
Track is what a train runs on. Trek is what the Enterprise goes on. Trek.
Okay.
Star Trek.
great. Thanks for elaborating and filling us in. Why don't you talk about them DVDs over there?
Jericho, the complete first season, post-apocalyptic Skeet Ulrich TV phenomenon.
Right.
Season one, you want to pick that up. 1408, John Cusack and Sam Jackson. The two-disc collector's edition has got the original theatrical cut as well as the extended director's cut with alternate ending.
Nice.
Jungle Book, the Disney movie that Matt doesn't have, 40th anniversary, two-disc.
Will, sir.
Limited time. I'm telling you, people, if you haven't gotten this disc right now, you need to run out. Run out now, people, before they lock it back up in the vault. You know the Disney vault. They never open the Disney vault.
Ever.
If you don't get it now, you are going to regret missing The Jungle Book. How I Met Your Mother, Season 2.
Starring Doogie Howser and Willow.
That's it. Just because she's in it. And The War.
Not
PBS,
even done on TV yet.
Right. Ken Burns documentary about World War II. It's actually fascinating. We watched an episode. It was really good. You can pick the whole thing up on DVD. And, of course, the big get of the week. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Do-do-do. Two-disc la-di-da edition. If you get it at Best Buy for an additional $5, you get the collectible Silver Surfer figurine as well as Marvel Digital Comics DVD, which has a lot of stuff on it, including Joe Quesada in the house, yo.
In the hizzy. In segment two of this evening's show, we talked about a couple of toy-related things. We talked about Tonner's Spider-Man 3 18-inch Spider-Man figure. Very good. Exactly what we expect from Tonner. The suit is really nice.
Really great likeness on him.
Really great likeness on Tobey Maguire. You can check it out at Tonner Inc. along with all of Tonner's other products.
Legendary Comic Book Heroes. Right. More 6-inch highly articulated stuff from Marvel Toys, the company that doesn't make Marvel Toys. What's incredible, what's special about them, besides the fact that all of them have pretty much been done before in Wave 1, maybe not in, like we said, not in the scale with this much articulation. What you want here is the Pit Build-A-Figure.
Right.
He is absolutely incredible. Incredible, incredible, incredible. Series 2 will consist of, again, mostly characters that have been done by other companies before now, but a 6-inch highly articulated versions of them may appeal to some people. That said, the Monkey Man figure, Build-A-Figure, looks to be phenomenal. So again, you're going to be concentrating on the Build-A, and if you like those characters, those are you're going to want to pick them up. I don't think that they're really great for mass market. I'm just saying.
Well, there you go. In the third segment of tonight's show, we talked briefly about
Xbox 360
right.
And how great it is and how much it's better than the Wii.
Only not so much. No, we actually talked about the new board that's inside. Hopefully this is Microsoft's way of correcting previous errors. Do you have one? Well, only time will tell, but there are places online where you can do the research and figure out whether or not you're lucky enough to have one of these boards. We talked about the Wii Remote jackets tonight as well. Nintendo has a site up online where you can get 4 of these for free if you already have an existing Wii unit.
Oh, really?
You just need to send them your serial number from your Wii console, and they will send you the Wii jackets. These, again, to protect each other and other objects in your house. Should the Wii Remote fall out of your hands, fly out of your hands, or you want to smack somebody with it. So you should check those out. It's probably a nice addition to your Wii accessories. The third portion of that segment, we talked about stopping cheating in online gaming in general, how they're doing it, what it means for gaming, and what it means for
the economy of South Korea.
Exactly. So there it is. That's episode 77 in a nutshell. Don't forget, you can check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com or on iTunes by searching for Geek Stuff in the iTunes Music Store. You can check us out at MySpace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff. And,
if you go to the Apple Store, you should leave us a review.
You should leave us a review. The next episode of our show, episode 78, will be live from XM Satellite Radio Channel 202. Saturday, October 13th from 9 to 10:30, so you can check us out there. I will put a link up online for those of you who don't have XM but may want to try it out and check out that free little preview they have, so you can do that. It's going to be a good show. We got some good stuff planned, so you should definitely check us out.
Yeah. All that you said is true.
And I think that might be it.
Can I go back to work now?
You can go back to work now.
You realize this is like 12 hours away.
Sure.
Just saying.
I know. Fantastic.
It's a lot of work.
Do you have any parting words for us tonight?
Expecto Patronum!
The hell was that?
I've been reading Harry Potter.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Thank you.